We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is the TGIF May 17 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live at Ruffino's on the River on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here. It is a beautiful day by the river. We've already got a semi-packed house here. The reason, folks, it's graduation season, and we've got a few more reasons for you to join the party here in the bar area. Joined for the next 2.5 hours by the famous Clint D. He is live in the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. LSU baseball, not dead yet. Great performance last night. We're going to lead off with that, but I got to get you the guest list. I try to save it for the end of segment number one usually. It's too good today. It's too full, and I need you to know what's coming. At 4:30, Kevin Falk going to come sit in. His second time joining B2BS at Ruffino's on the River. He's got a really cool charity event that's coming up tomorrow night in town. Yes, we'll talk about that. But we got to get Kevin Falk's take on what it's like to canvass the state. Seriously, he's been part of these coaches' caravan Tiger Tours. My man's been everywhere. The 318 down to the 985, everywhere in between. You know, except for Lafayette. But we'll get his take on the tour with Coach O. Kevin Falk sitting in live about 4:30, 4:35, and he'll be with us until straight up 5 o'clock. James Moran, Tiger Rag Magazine, going to set us straight before game 2 of LSU-Auburn. He'll be live from the box, and that's at 5 o'clock. At 5:15, we are going to be jam-packed in hour number 2. Ruffin Rodrigue, owner of Ruffino's on the River. He's making his way from Houston to Baton Rouge. I don't know if he'll stop in live, but I do know he'll be on the show at 5:15. And at 5:45, we're going to have a really, really cool guest and maybe an even bigger announcement. At 5:45, Josh Fontenot, head football coach of the Southside High Sharks, is going to come join me live as well from Ruffino's on the River. Make sure you tune in for that interview. Make sure you tune in 5:45 for a big announcement. The Sharks are set to go into the deep waters. Right? In District 3-5A, it's their first year of varsity football. We got to discuss that, plus how they ended spring ball. Josh Fondo with us at 5:45. Big show today. Kevin Falk, James Moran, Ruffin Rodrigue, Josh Fondo, and when you're ready, how about you? 706-0111. And let's get into LSU baseball. 7-1 final last night. It was definitive. They jumped on Auburn early, and Eric Walker reminded everybody that when he's right, he may not quite have some of the stuff that Cole Henry does, for example. He may not have the upside even of somebody like Landon Marceau, who's going to get the go tonight. But that's your steady Eddie guy. And when he's healthy, there is a reason that Eric Walker was pegged as the Sunday starter when everything was, well, I guess as right as it can be going into the regular season. Eric Walker was your Sunday guy because he always was going to give you that chance to win on Sunday, even if he wasn't expected to extend as long as some of the others, Zach Hess, everybody else who's going through the rotating door in the rotation. But last night was some of the best of Eric Walker this season, and it couldn't have come at a better time. You combine that with Saul Garza, some of the timely hitting, some of the power hitting that LSU got, and you got to love some of the video footage, some of the photography of Mondo Duplantis, his mom, their family, the Duplantis family just having a blast in the box. And then, of course, there is a blast from Antoine Duplantis, the senior, in what could be his final home series ever. But I'm not sure they're ready to say goodbye and adios to Alec Box just yet. Not with the way they played last night. And I know, this is a daily sports talk radio show. We have to kind of twist and bend with the winds. But the way that the winds blew last night was in a positive direction. And LSU now, at 16-12, has an opportunity to finish with a flurry going into Hoover in the SEC tournament. At 16-12, if you could just split these final two games, 17 wins, and then some semblance of a showing at Hoover Met is going to get LSU a regional host bid. Whereas, maybe two games into the Arkansas series, right? A couple of L's before last Saturday. Nobody would have thought that possible. Everything was trending toward going on the road for the second straight year in regional play. And that was one of the bases for which I did my weekly reboot podcast. That storyline isn't definitive yet. But they need to at least split these final two games. What a performance last night from Eric Walker. Again, this isn't time that if you were off the bandwagon, you should jump back on, because shame on you. You shouldn't be bandwagon in the first place. My point to you is this. Whereas it wasn't looking good, last night was a ray of sunshine. You couple that with the win in the midweek over UNO, and suddenly you've got three in a row in the right direction. Can you parlay that into consistent hitting success and then getting back some of the guys that have been missing? Hunt Palmer told you yesterday in this program, he's not overly optimistic about Jaden Hill, Cole Henry, one or both coming back. Even if one can return and give you 3 to 4 innings when you need them big in a regional game, maybe even in a super, if LSU's to get that fortunate, that would be worthwhile. I'm not sure it's fair to compare this to Lats from a season ago, right, where he's going to pop up, start the Pontiff Classic game, if I'm not mistaken, and then barely be heard from again. I wonder if there's not a happy medium between Lats last year and what Hunt suggested yesterday. I wonder if there's not an opportunity for maybe Jaden Hill to come back and give you a little shot of life when you need it. But I do know this. Eric Walker reminded everybody last night that if he's going to be the starter Tuesday to begin the SEC tourney run, don't count LSU out just yet to finish as one of the top 16 seeds. And forget about the political part. The fact that it's good for the NC2A to have LSU as a top 16 seed, the fact that they'll sell tickets and put butts in the seats, forget about that. LSU showed last night they may just earn their way into this darn thing, into being a legitimate top 16 seed and hosting. We'll see if they can carry the momentum forward tonight. 6:30 is the pregame show. Doug Thompson, Chris Blair, live from Alec Box. We'll send you to Baton Rouge at 6:30. At 7 o'clock, your first pitch. And it will be Landon Marceau on the bump tonight. Awfully big spot for the freshman. If they can take 2 out of 3 tomorrow, well, I don't have to tell you, right? It's extra. Again, depending on where you are along I-10, it's Lanyap, it's Lanyap. Damn it, it's just good. But you need one from Landon Marceau tonight. His opposite number, it's another lefty. And wouldn't that be something? If LSU can get over on 2 straight starting left-handed pitchers, it's been a bit of kryptonite for LSU's lineup this year. But Jack Owen, a sophomore lefty, getting the go for the Tigers / War Eagle / Plainsman. He's 4-1 on the season, 1.91 ERA. The guy can go. Can LSU keep it going at the plate? Can their mojo, a little bit of the power stroke, continue? That's going to be the operative question. So a big program today. We'll talk more LSU baseball, but we have a lot of different topics to touch on. Gail Benson channeling her inner Michael Corleone. I'll tell you about that in hour number 2. On the other side of this break, your sink or swim question of the day. I want to get into the Astros. They're on a big-time winning streak. They play at Boston this weekend. Boston comes to Minute Maid next weekend. So we're going to talk some Stros, and then Kevin Falk will be with us at 4:30, a busy Friday. And how else would you rather it be? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
I think the players understand, you know, what's at stake. And, you know, they listen, Auburn's still got their top 2 starting pitchers that they're going to throw at us the next 2 days. So they know the challenge. I mean, it's a nice victory, and I'm glad we got it. And now we need to show that we can play consecutive days in a row. And, you know, if we want to dream of winning a regional, you have to win three games in a weekend. If you want to dream of winning a super regional, you got to win two. You got to be able to put one behind you and get ready for the next day. And I reminded the kids that the score is 0-0. It's not 7-1 starting tomorrow.
Level take from Paul Maneri. And, yeah, tomorrow is now today. That sound last night after LSU's 7-1 victory over Auburn. They could use at least one more out of these next two. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. We're hanging out, having fun at Ruffino's on the River. And it's not only peak time in baseball season, this is peak graduation season. With the ceremonies nearby at UL, this place is buzzing already. We need you to come and join us. You'll be in good company right now. I'm having a great conversation in the break. If you join us between now and 6:30, the life of my show today, Wine by the Glass, half off in the bar area. Come take in B2BS Live. See Kevin Falk at about 4:30, 4:35. Josh Fontenot, head football coach at Southside High. He'll be with us at 5:45. All right, CD, we played in with some Paul Maneri. We've been talking to LSU baseball. I want to switch it up. We'll stay on the diamond, but we'll take it to the pro side. I want to get into the Houston Astros. The situation is this. They're absolutely playing lights out right now. They're getting contributions from the staff, and I mean guys beyond just Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, who's slated to go tonight if the weather relents a little bit. It's been raining in Boston. I know the tarp's been down at Fenway, but they've been good past just those two. They've been excellent. I mean, one of the tops in the bigs on the back end so far. Roberto Acuña, Presley as your eighth inning guy. I mean, they have been phenomenal. Will Harris, the former LSU product, helping to bridge through to get to Presley and Acuña, and the bats have woken up. Alex Bregman proving last year's power stroke wasn't a fluke. And don't look now, and I'll knock on wood so I don't jinx it myself, George Springer putting himself into the AL MVP conversation. They're on a hell of a winning streak. They're taking on the world champs for the next two weekends. We're having so much fun with it. B2BS will be live from Minute Maid before Sox and Astros next Friday. But it's got me thinking. And anytime I think, you're in trouble because that means I've got a question. CD, the music first. Exciting and new. How about a little Astros talk on a Friday? Here's your sink or swim question. Are you more or less confident now that the Astros win the World Series based on where you were in the preseason? So think back many, many moons ago. To be specific, I don't know, about 7 weeks ago. Are you more or less confident now than you were then that the Astros do exactly what their mantra is in 2019, that they take it back? 706-0111. Call us up. Let us know. CD, I'm a gentleman. I'm respectful. Sometimes you've got honors.
I appreciate that, Penn. I got to say, I'm a lot more confident in the Astros' chances of winning the World Series this year, simply because of the fact that their offense feels like it is almost unstoppable. It's hard to really slow this team down, especially with the hot streaks they've had. Especially if you look back at the beginning of the year, they looked like things just were struggling offensively. I got to say, I am a lot more confident in them and their ability to get to the World Series and, as you said, take it back.
It still, for me, Clint, is going to come down to exactly what we thought it was going to, whatever it was, 7 or 8 weeks ago when they were breaking camp in Florida, coming back to H-Town. It's still going to come down to starting pitching after the first two. And those guys have been good. Now, they've had some shakeup, right? They're not able to roll out everybody in terms of, you know, Peacock, McHugh, and everybody the way that they originally intended, Wade Miley. There's already been some shakeup. It's been positive, one start in, but let's not exactly put Corbin Martin in Cooperstown just yet. Was he good on Sunday against the in-state rival Texas Rangers? No, he was freaking outstanding. Can he do it again? We'll find out. He's slated to go, I believe, tomorrow against the Red Sox. Much tougher test getting the Sox in Beantown. But what I'll tell you, Clint, I am more confident right now than I was 7 weeks ago that they're going to win it all. But you know me, it's a little conditional. I do think one of the two between Corbin Martin and Forrest Whitley is going to have to show that they're ready for prime time. that they're healthy, that they aren't being found out second time through the lineup, figuratively speaking. You know what I mean? When some of these teams see Martin, Whitley, if he gets called up for the second, third, fourth time, how's that going to go? Can they make the adjustments? Are they students of the game, not just prolific prospects? I still think that's foremost in what it's going to take to win it all. Now, I say that knowing this, CD. The reason the Astros got beaten out last year by the Red Sox is because Boston's lineup at the plate just wouldn't quit. And you have to be able to score in the postseason consistently more than two, three, four runs. I do have more faith in this year's Astros offense than last year's. Now, they're not exactly where everybody wants them to be. I still am not sure that Carlos Correa is what everybody expected. But it looks to me like Altuve, despite a couple of dry spells, is more like the MVP Altuve than a lot of last year when injuries got in the way. Alex Bregman, not quite the batting average, but everything else seems to be where it was last year, if not on even a better arc in terms of power. George Springer is playing out of his mind. They've gotten occasionally great, but usually consistently good productivity out of Michael Brantley, who they traded for. And so think back to when we had Brian McTaggart on MLB.com a few weeks ago. He was adamant that this team's biggest question mark, as you get closer to the trade deadline, is DH. And whereas right now, that's a space where A.J. Hinch experiments. He gets guys days off in the field. I think come postseason play, you want that to be game in, game out, a mauler and a baller at the dish. And so for me, it's one of these young guys, Martin or Whitley. I'd prefer that if they're ready than going out and trading for a starting pitcher and mortgaging any more of the future. I think you're good enough without it. But can one of those guys be ready for prime time, and will they solve a bit of their DH dilemma? That's what's separating the Astros from being darn near flawless. And so I don't want to pick too many nits here, but the reality is they are on track as one of the absolute best teams in baseball to take this thing home. Those aren't standards that are always easy to live up to. Hey, enough of me. Enough of CD. We'd love to hear some from you, and we've got time. Give us a call, 706-0111. And before we exit in this segment, Clint's going to have a PGA Championship update. Brooks Koepka was all the rage after 18 holes yesterday. Clint's going to tell you here in about 2 minutes exactly where things stand at Bethpage Black on a Friday. Don't forget, we're awfully busy today. You want to get a call in, you should hurry. We'll have Kevin Falk in about 10 minutes. He'll be here live, excuse me, at Ruffino's on the River. We'll talk about LSU's tour around the state. He was fortunate enough to make it with Ed O and company. And then James Moran live from the box at 5. Ruff and Rodri in person over the phone. Now you got to stick around to find out at 5:15. And Josh Fontenot, head football coach of Southside High. They're going to debut a varsity program in 2019. We'll talk all about it here in about an hour and 20 minutes. Tell you what, Clint, why don't we jump the gun a little bit? I don't think we have any cool sounders for it because, really, we don't need it. Facts and stories tell and sell themselves. Let's get right to that PGA Championship update.
Yeah, and you're talking about Brooks Koepka. His second day, not exactly as prolific as day one, but still pretty solid. 2 under through 11. He's currently 9 under. And then right behind him, Adam Scott, who has had a pretty decent day himself. 7 under. Now he's 6 under through 14 holes right behind Brooks Koepka. And then after that, you get Jordan Spieth at 5 under, 4 under on the day he's wrapped up. And then Tommy Fleetwood nearing the end of his second round, 1 under through 15 at 4 under overall. So he's in a tie for fourth place along with Matt Wallace at 4 under. And Wallace is actually on the 12th hole right now at 4 under.
I can give another update as well. Why? Well, because it's scrolling across the bottom ticker in front of me. Looks like right now in the third inning in Oxford, Cajun softball is trailing 1-0. So this is their first game. Again, they're in the Oxford Regional, so they wouldn't get to play Ole Miss until tomorrow, but it will take a win, you have to imagine, to make that happen. Clint, I'll let you correct me if I'm wrong. LSU is set to play Monmouth in the Baton Rouge Regional. Beth Tarina and the softball Tigers, that one is scheduled for later tonight. So please do correct me if there's a further update than the Cajun softball team being down 1-0 right now.
Now, they're 1-0, but I have to say they're cooking with grease at this point. Runners at first and second with one out. So maybe that can wind up changing during the break.
There you go. You've got softball updates. You've got golf updates. We've talked baseball, college, and professional all over the place and having one heck of a time on a Friday. It's a beautiful thing. Anytime you get a New England Patriots Hall of Famer and one of the most beloved athletes in the history of the Acadiana area. But no, not Acadiana High. Can't say that. I might get shot the next time I go to the Crow. Karen Crow High's finest, Kevin Falk, when we return. So do not go anywhere. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And it's Friday, so that means we're hanging out at Ruffino's on the river. A lot of people celebrating life, celebrating graduation season. You ought to come out and join us if you get a chance. Beautiful day to come hang out in the bar area. And for the next 2 hours, wine by the glass is half off. That's just how we do it at Ruffino's on the River on Fridays. Come out and join us on Camellia Boulevard, and we'll be right back in with more B2BS.
Yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
A team that, you know, we went through it 2 years ago, had a great, you know, postseason, end up losing to the eventual champs. But what you want to do is that you want to be able to count on that year in and year out where, you know, hopefully at some stage you'll be able to get completely over the hump, but you want to be a consistent playoff team.
Ben Gentry, you hear all the sneakers behind him as they're at the NBA Scouting Combine in Chicago, but that's all about New Orleans becoming a consistent playoff team, and a lot of speculation going on, understandably, about just how they get there. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back into Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Momentarily, Kevin Falk will be with us. I've also got a softball update to dispense sooner than later. CD will be all over that. But I do want to address what you just heard from Alvin Gentry, a consistent playoff team. All right, how do you get there? Is it by trying to keep AD? You've got 1 year left on his contract. Maybe at least ride this thing out through the All-Star break. But if you do that, do you risk getting nothing in return? Or are you looking behind door number two, exploring a trade opportunity with a partner who brings back the goods that makes you that consistent playoff team? One thing that I found interesting, I've told you ever since the Pels lucked up and landed number one, that I love the idea of getting the Knicks number three. And that, for me, that would be the focal point. Kurt Heelan, our good friend from NBC Sports, had a report out midday today saying that the Pelicans are not terribly high on Knicks forward Kevin Knox. To me, if that's true, it becomes something that might be a deal breaker. If they're not high on Kevin Knox, what do the Knicks have that the Pelicans need and is of substantial enough value to give away Anthony Davis? Other than the picks. The picks are obvious. It's obvious that the Knicks have to give up number three overall this year and probably a number or for a first-round pick in 2020. That part's obvious. And cash considerations ain't getting it done with AD. What can you provide on the court that can help make the Pelicans a winner right now? As much as I like Scott Alexander's suggestion, when it comes to Dennis Smith Jr., talented player that started with the Mavs, came over as part of the Porzingis deal last year, you've got Jrue Holiday. You're doubling down at a position, so you're not filling a position of need. I like the idea of filling the wing. That has been just the Bermuda Triangle for this franchise for the better part of a half decade. And while Jason Tatum out of Boston would be a better solution to fill that one need, I like the idea of Kevin Knox, but look, I am not and will never pretend to be David Griffin. If he and his evaluation staff say Kevin Knox isn't our guy, look, I trust him. But that is going to give at least a little bit of a shakeup to where they might be able to go. And in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to share with you why I'm not sure the Lakers are going to be that team at 4 overall. All right, CD, Why don't you give us an update? Give me a softball update. I know the Cajuns have struck back, and I think they actually have a lead now.
Yes, they do. They have a lead right now, 2-1, a two-out, two-run double by Alyssa Dalton, one of being the reason why they had the lead. It was a bases-loaded situation. Thankfully, they got something out of it, but don't look now. Southeast Missouri, top of the fourth, one-out runner on first, so that could they could wind up probably looking to tie it up here.
There you go. So Cajuns on top of Southeast Missouri, 2-1. It's in the fourth in Oxford. We'll keep you updated. I know we have James on the line that wants to talk Pels, but James, I think you'll understand. Kevin Falk is in the building. Coach, it's great to have you back here. How the heck are you on a Friday?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Look, life is good here. Last time we had you here, I don't think you had made your statewide tour yet. Now that you've been to Shreveport, Monroe, Houma, everywhere in between, how was it?
It was awesome, man. They kind of changed up the format a little bit from last year. But I like the kind of like a little more direct and to the point type format, which is pretty good. You get a close up look and see the guys.
What do you think about North Louisiana and the way that this staff is kind of poised to continue recruiting that area? I know it was a sore spot for years. Doesn't feel that way from the outside looking in anymore.
Not really. They got you guys. You got your hidden guys in there that may not be your 4 or 5 stars, but you got your 2-3 stars that really make some noise, that just because of their work ethic, they're really productive for you. But, you know, that's just a credit to the guys. Just keep fighting. Keep chopping wood, like, you know, the old saying, keep chopping wood.
So if I'm going to wager a guess that Ed Ogeron is most popular in this state in Houma, would I be right on that?
Oh, my God, yes. You know, not taken away from West Monroe and Shreveport, but when we got in the parking lot in Houma, there was nowhere to park. We had to, like, pretty much wait for somebody to leave so we could park. And it wasn't long, but, you know, that's just how packed it was, and then how, like you said, it felt like home.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is Kevin Falk joins us. We're live at Rufino's on the River. We had Tommy Moffitt on the program maybe 2 weeks ago, and he said, look, after this last season, some of the injuries that Joe Burrow sustained, he came to us, said he wanted to put on some weight, came to us and said he wanted to be more prepared for his senior season. How have you seen that, and how do you think it's going to help the young man?
Just the thought of going to them as a player, letting them know, hey, look, I think I need to gain a few more pounds. It just goes to show you his maturity level.
Is that rare at the college level?
Nah, you got a few guys that are that mature. If you want to get to the next level, you better get it quick. If you want to maintain in the next level, you better get it quick. But it just goes to show you about his maturity level, where he is right now as a quarterback, and I think that's a positive for us as a football team with him being that mature.
We're lucky to have you here, and the Acadiana area, Lafayette's lucky to have a big event coming to town tomorrow night. Before we hit a break, you need to tell our listeners all about it. You guys did this last year. It's going to be bigger and better in year two.
We're trying to make it bigger and better. We're trying to grow it as the years go on. It's the Kevin Falk and Friends Ping Pong Tournament. It's at Fast Eddie's tomorrow night from 5 to 9. I got a few of my former teammates from LSU, as well as some guys that played at LSU and in the league with Arnold Miller, Brandon Mitchell, played at Texas A&M, played in New England with me, Dwayne Thomas, Coach Corey Raymond supposed to be there, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the former quarterback from the Cajuns, old Blaine. We got Kobe Delahousie, he confirmed today with me, but he's going to be leaving a little early because him and his dad is going to the concert at the Cajun Dome. So before you head out to the concert, man, come on and have a good time, drink a beer with us, and have some fun.
Ping pong tournament for charity. It's tomorrow night at Fast Eddie's, right there by campus. You mentioned it. You can almost throw a baseball to the Cajun Dome. What time should they start showing up?
The event starts at 5. You know, I might show up about 4 o'clock to help set up everything, but we'll get going about 5:30, and see where it goes from there.
Want to talk a little more about that, and we will. Final break of the hour, but don't go anywhere. Kevin Falk joining us when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, celebrating life, hanging out at Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
There we go. back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live in the bar area of Rufino's on the River. They're serving up plenty of the good stuff. Back with you on 103.7 The Game, Ben Love and Kevin Faulk, Patriots Hall of Famer, good enough to join us. We're trying to get to the bottom, Coach, of some pretty important things here. And, you know, in the break, you wanted to know how much a shot of the Don Julio 1942 cost. Do we have an answer yet?
She said 25, but I don't believe it. I think it's a little more.
Got to be north of that.
Yeah, it got to be a lot north of that.
Okay. Well, look, I'm doing a show. I'm not going to find the answer to that out until at least 6:30. You've got a ring ceremony for your daughter coming up, so we may have to learn that answer another day, man.
Well, I think we will learn another day. It's all right. We got time to catch up.
Hey, speaking of catching up, you're going to get to do that with your one and only NFL franchise you played for next week. You're going to be part of working OTAs in New England. What's that process like for the veterans and especially for the young guys that just got drafted, even maybe some of the undrafted free agents when they come in? What's that process like?
First off, for the young guys, it's just a feel your way through process. Find out the system. Understand what the system is. Understand what the coaches want from you as a player. Veteran guys, just getting your feet back wet, no pads on, going through some of the same old plays, but now your role might have changed. Gronk's not there anymore. The receiver room is probably unproven a little bit. So, you know, there's some questions to be answered, but there's sometimes it always seems the way that the questions get answered.
How well, if at all, do you know Ben Watson from your years in the league? I know the Patriots picked him up. I'm assuming he's going to fill the shoes of Gronk. What you make of that?
Smart guy, smart player. Gonna give you everything he has. Leader. Just in general, as a person, as a leader, from the day he came to New England when he was drafted, and he was a young kid, but he's gonna bring a lot of that to New England, the toughness part. You know, just play fast.
Kevin Faulk joining us. We're live at Rufino's on the River. But tomorrow night, you're going to be out at Fast Eddie's. We talked a little bit about your second annual ping pong tournament. We should mention, and we will right now, it's for charity, specifically the Trinity Foundation, and that's a group that's going to fund a lot of really cool events, including your football camp.
Yes, they are. Get some of the cash for our football camp, for the meals, what the kids drink, the water that they have, some of the ammonia water that they need to have because it's be hot out there, support staff that we have out there as well. That comes out as trainers for us. So it's a whole family thing.
In all the times that I've interviewed you on the show and we've talked off the air, I've never asked what significance the number 3 has to you. Obviously, you wore it at LSU. You doubled down in New England and wore 33. It's got to be more than just a number, right?
It's funny. Something small. My first ever number in middle school was 12. And when I got to high school, 12 was taken. By a senior, and I was like, okay, 12, okay, 12, so what's the next best thing? Well, 1 + 2 = 3. I got 3, and it stuck. When I got to LSU, they gave me 3, and then I didn't even say anything about the 33 in New England. That just happened that way.
They gave that to you?
They gave that to me.
Wow. So explain this part to me. Can that number be worn in New England? Is it the jersey or is it the number that's kind of retired and up in the ring of honor?
It's not really retired. I'm just in the Hall of Fame and everything. Anybody can wear the jersey. The cool thing is I guess I've earned a lot of respect from up there, but they'll call me and say, hey, look, such and such is going to wear your jersey. You know, oh, cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, you know, this is kind of weird, but the reports came out, if I'm not mistaken, it was Joe Theismann. Said recently, I think the Redskins drafted the kid Haskins at Ohio State. He basically sounded like he wanted to jump through hoops to wear his number. Is there any circumstance where you understand that, or is that a little foreign to you?
Well, I'm a former player, so I do understand it. Growing up, you have significance of why you do certain things. You can't control what happened before, like a retired jersey number, but if you can go to someone like a Joe Theismann and be like, hey, well, look, this number means this to me. And obviously Joe understood. Joe said yes.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Give me a guy that played LSU football before you that maybe you didn't, because you've told me before, you didn't grow up watching LSU football every single Saturday. But in your life post-LSU football, I mean, whether it's a Billy Cannon or just some of the guys, Charles Alexander, some of the guys you got a chance to meet that you say, whoa, that's a dude right there.
definitely Charlie Alexander. Cool guy. I call him Mr. Cool. Dalton, who I've been knowing for a long, long time. Harvey Williams, and these are some of the guys that I've actually got a chance to watch a little bit. Watch Harvey a whole lot because that was the kind of the time of, that I was actually in the football and was watching a little bit more of LSU football. So I watched Harvey a lot, and then I kind of followed him a little bit when he went to the pros just because at that time it was LSU football.
Maybe the greatest football neck of all time, Harvey Williams. That's what I remember when he was playing in the pros.
Him and Hanks had the same kind of neck that played for San Francisco.
Merton Hanks?
Yes.
Now that you say that, I could see it. I mean, basically just like almost like a bobblehead doll, but without any of the springs. You know what I mean? I could see the Merton Hanks now that you're saying it for the 49ers.
Right. They resemble each other a little bit as well.
Another moment or two. Kevin Faulk joining us, Patriots Hall of Famer. All right, so you're going to New England next week. I told you I'll be in Houston on a Minute Maid Park. You've got a chance, actually, potentially, to go work with the Dallas Cowboys as well.
Cowboys or the Houston Texans.
What are some of your connections with them? Yeah.
Well, the Houston Texans, Billy O'Brien, who was the offensive coordinator. And then Lionel Vita, who was a scout for New England, but he's actually from the Louisville, New Iberia area that I've been known for a long time, too. He's a scout for the Dallas Cowboys, but they also have our old strength coach from New England, Mike Wasick, who's the strength coach for the Dallas Cowboys for his second term. So I have a couple of connections with both organizations.
Remind me, Coach, I guess how it went down. O'Brien was your offensive coordinator and then left to take the Penn State job? Was that about it?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
How do you look at what he's been able to turn his career into? I mean, just knowing who he was then and what he's got going now.
Knowing who he was then is why he's where he is now. He was a coach that really could relate to the guys. One of the only coaches to actually stand up to, you know, guys that are your superstars on your team. But hey, nah, we're going to do our thing. And it just goes to show you that's why he's so successful right now as a coach.
You look at New England, I mean, just the model of consistency. How do they transition one day from Tom Brady? And I'm not sure that anybody in that organization wants to think about that, but obviously they have to at some point. Whether it's 3 or 4 years from now, who knows?
It's going to take more than just transitioning from Tom. It's going to take some transitioning from Mr. Kraft, transitioning from Bill, because it all works hand in hand. I know Mr. Kraft lets Bill do his thing at the football side of it, but as an organization, the New England Patriots brand is just as good as the football team. I think they run it like a Fortune 500 business, you know, so it's just one of those things. It's going to have to come down from the top and trickle down. Now, the level of play may go down a little bit, but they're still trying to find that guy that can at least come close to Tom has. And I'm talking about mentally as well, not just physically playing the game.
Have you had some fun over the years in Fenway? I mean, just being in the Boston area, what's it like going to see the Red Sox play? Astros are there now. Hopefully it stops raining up there.
And it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like 50-something and cold and rainy. But it's funny, though. I never went to a lot of baseball games. The ones I did go to was kind of like the Red Sox and the Yankee series. Some of your big-time series, when we came out with all the trophies, the championship trophies, went to games for that. But most of the Red Sox and Yankee series I went to.
That's not bad at all. If you got to pick a baseball series, I'd rather see those two, and I'd probably rather see them at Fenway. Coach, I know you're a busy man. You got your daughter's ring ceremony tonight. Right, congratulations on that. Before you go, one more time, big event tomorrow night at Fast Eddie's. Tell them about it.
Ping pong challenge. Me and my friends just trying to get together, get a bunch of people together, man, have some fun. Former football players from LSU and the pros. Just come out and show your skills. We want to see what you got. We didn't realize how much fun it was last year, and that's why we're back at it again this year. So I hope y'all come out, man.
Second annual ping pong tournament, Kevin Faulk and friends. And you are going to be putting it on tomorrow night. It's at Fast Eddie's. You can show up as early as 5 or 5:30. Everything going to benefit the Trinity Foundation. Coach, thanks again for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm going to tell Robin you said hello.
All right.
Clint, we got to wind the hour down. Let's get to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Back. Raging Cajuns baseball. Well, they got in to the Sun Belt Conference tournament, but they had to do it by using the back and backing in. They lost last night 6-3 in Monroe, breaking a 25-game win streak against that program. And yet, they're going to play in the conference tournament because, after all, Arkansas State, the Red Wolves, were good enough to lose in extra innings. So Cajuns had to back into it, but at least they're going to be in it. Now what's important? Save your best arm for Tuesday. The next two games don't really matter all that much. Back is the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. Busy second hour coming up. James Moran, Ruffin Rodrigue, Josh Fontenot, buckle up. We got more Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you on 103.7.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
It's time to get you ready for LSU baseball. Step into the on-deck circle with James Moran on 103.7 The Game.
I'll take that cue. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, fired up on a Friday, and right back in to Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, the famous Clint D, joining in spirit from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, LSU Baseball. Got the first of a three-game set against Auburn. Tonight they go for number two, Landon Marceau, on the mound against Jack Owen. First pitch at 7, pregame show at 6:30. We're bringing you right there, and now it's time to get a full preview. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, live from Alec Box Stadium, it's our good friend James Moran of Tiger Ag Magazine. How the heck are you, James?
Doing well, man. Doing well. How about you?
I'm well here. Did last night inject some life maybe into this team and this fan base, looking at what they did and how they did it?
Maybe. I think they came out of the Arkansas a lot, getting that last win with a good bit of momentum, and they've kind of carried it over through their two games this week. But there's a couple reasons I thought last night was really important. Number one, the biggest one is really the start they got out of Eric Walker. I mean, this team had been so starved for good starting pitching. I mean, look, him and Marceau have had games where they've, you know, given them five decent innings and the bullpen has come in and done the job. But to actually get six quality innings, one run, two hits, you know, he struck out five, was huge for a few reasons. One, just kind of obviously to get that win. I mean, that was really when you look at the pitching matchups for the series, that was a game LSU had to have if it's going to, you know, win this series or maybe take a run at sweeping it as they're trying to secure a host site for an NCAA regional. But just the length he gave them because of the fact, you know, I mean, how about this? They hadn't had a pitcher complete six innings in a month. That back out, it gives you an idea. I don't think they'd had a pitcher get out in the sixth inning in more than 2 weeks, if my memory serves to what I wrote about last night. And with Landon Marceau pitching, and look, I think they got confidence in him. Nothing negative about him, but then they got to play on Saturday, and their situation is unclear. Then they got to turn around and play on Tuesday in Hooper, a single elimination game in the SEC tournament. They've already said Walker can't start that game, so some combination of relievers or whoever is going to have to pitch that game. And the fact that he was able to kind of save everybody, they only used Todd Peterson out of the bank guys, he only threw 20 pitches. To me, that really was necessary to set them up for the rest of this weekend and for next week.
So this might be an interesting philosophical question, but what's more important, getting wins to close this series out against Auburn or preparing yourself and your pitching staff for Hoover?
I'm not sure. You know, coming into the week, I definitely would have thought it was this series, because I think that if they could ever sweep this series, 18 wins has kind of been a magic number for SEC teams to host. 18 SEC wins, and obviously they'd be 18-12 if they won both the rest of these games. But at the same time, they'd also feel pretty good about their chances if they just take 2 out of 3 and go to Hoover and win a couple games. So I would still probably say if they win tonight and they have a chance to sweep tomorrow, that I would go for it. But if they just say, hey, we're just trying to win the series, we'll take our chances with some of the bullpen guys tomorrow and, you know, be ready for Tuesday, then I would still understand where they were coming from under that stance, too.
You're listening to the On Deck Circle portion of B2BS, and that means we're talking with James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine. The idea that Cade Beloso coming back from an ankle injury is going to keep serving as the DH while Chris Reed plays first base. I asked our mutual friend Hunt Palmer about that yesterday. Do you like it?
I do. As long as the other guys around the infield are continue to play well, and recently they have. I'm talking about Hal Hughes and Brant Broussard. I mean, Hal Hughes is actually, he didn't have a great night last night. He actually got robbed of, well, he was either a double or a home run. I didn't see the replay by a jumping catch up against the wall. But he's actually swung the bat really well lately. Now, he did make an error last night. That's pretty uncharacteristic. He's obviously probably their best defensive third baseman. But oddly enough, for a guy that hasn't played really any first base in his career, Reed has been their best defensive first base at this point. I mean, he made a nice play last night, kind of jumping off the bag and catching a wide throw and making a swipe tag. I mean, he's kind of done a good job over there. And Beloso, obviously, they still need his bat in the lineup. I mean, he's one of the bigger power hitters on this team. I thought it was a real big step for him last night, hitting that home run against the lefty. He hasn't really been super productive against left-handed pitching, though he kind of maintains that he's not, you know, a bad hitter against lefties. And really, there's no one else kind of knocking down the door to make a claim that they should be the DH. So if, you know, yeah, I think if somebody like Drew Bianco or Gavin Dugas or somebody like that was really hitting, then I think they'd probably be more likely to go back to the more offensive lineup with Reed at third, Beloso at first, and, you know, somebody with more pop at the DH spot. But there's just nobody that's really hitting right now that's not playing. So I think they like the way this looks defensively. Those two other infielders have been reasonably productive, and that's the best defensive lineup they've got at this point.
Before we let you go, James, look, beggars cannot be choosers. Once LSU gets to Hoover, they're going to play whoever's in the other dugout. But if you got to draw up a dream scenario that's within the realm of possibility, who would it maybe best behoove LSU to see in that Tuesday single elimination game?
Oh, that's a really hard one, just because it seems like it's so up in the air who's going to get that last spot. Now, obviously, if they're the 5 seed, they play the last team in. I think Florida's fighting for that, Kentucky, those kind of teams. I think LSU would really feel pretty comfortable playing any of them. I mean, they swept Kentucky. They won 2 out of 3 against Florida. Those are, I think, last I checked, the teams that were kind of still fighting for that last spot. You know, really, they're just going to need to play good baseball, man. I mean, I think they're going to be better than whoever it is the team they're playing, but they're not going to have one of their, you know, at this point, 2 starting pitchers to rely on in that game, and it's going to come down to, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if whoever it is holds their pitcher through the weekend to wait for the SEC tournament. We've seen that before. And so could there be a chance where LSU draws a really tough matchup against a really good pitcher on a not-so-good team? It's possible. That'd be what I'd want to avoid. I didn't see how Kentucky was approaching this weekend, but let's say if you get matched up with Kentucky and they held Zach Thompson through the weekend, I don't know, I haven't looked at Kentucky super closely this weekend, but a situation like that would be the only thing that would be really concerning if you're LSU. Otherwise, you play who you play.
James, during my time at Tiger Rag Magazine, we were so fixated outside of the weekly editions with what? The football, the basketball, the baseball previews. You guys are doing so much more in 2019. Tell our listeners about really what is a pretty cool feature story that Tyler Nunez did on Mondo Duplantis and his mom, and maybe that next huge feature edition that Tiger Rag is putting out.
Oh, yeah, man. That was great. I was so happy with what Tyler did with that story and the way it came out. Yeah, why is he competing for Sweden? Why is it that he decided to even go to college when I think it seems pretty clear that he could have been a professional right out of high school if he really wanted to. He's already good enough to be qualified for an Olympic team. But what we're doing kind of is more of a monthly glossy feature magazine. We call it Tiger Rag Extra. We'll mail it right to you. It's for the cost of shipping if you go to our website, tigerrag.com. And, you know, at this point, we have another one coming out next month. It's probably going to be focused on travel and baseball and some other things, but really the next big one would be the football preview, which comes out in August.
Just thinking about that made me a little bit weary. Hopefully it's not doing that to you at this point, James.
Not yet, but I think by the time baseball wraps up, then I will.
You know we love following your coverage. Keep up the great work. James, we'll be following.
Thanks, Ben. Talk to you next week, buddy.
That's James Moran, editor of Tiger Ag Magazine. And hopefully we're having a conversation with him next week, and he is live from Hoover Met. LSU still playing baseball. That would be a whole lot of fun. Although this time next week, I will be live at Minute Maid Park. Let me tell you about that as we wind down this segment. I'm fired up, and we've already got our first interview scheduled on the books. I mean, almost exactly 7 days and 20 minutes from this moment, Reed Ryan, president of baseball operations and Nolan Ryan's son, will be with me live at Minute Maid Park. I'm fired up from that. We're working on some other really cool things, adding to what we did last year from the home of the Astros. Again, we're looking to up the ante this year. Reed Ryan is already confirmed for 5:30. I don't even want to say the names of some of the others. Let's just say that they're very famous, and they used to play for the Astros. That's it. That's all. If it happens, you'll hear it. If it doesn't, we'll never speak a word of it. But it's going to be Bumper to Bumper Sports live from Minute Maid Park next Friday, leading into Astros v. Red Sox, and it's brought to you by Ardco Equipment. We're coming right back in, and speaking of big hitters, we got Ruff and Rodrigue when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, celebrating life. It is a graduation-heavy crowd here at Rufino's on the River, and we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
Come on, back to me.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Go right back in with more B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And unfortunately, no BS. We don't have Ruff and Rodrigue just yet. We're efforting. That's one of our fun radio words. That's not actually a word. What I can tell you is this. I spoke with Ruffin. Let's see. The show starts at 4:350. He saw the guest list. He said, brother, am I not invited to this party? He said, you're having a party at my place. Let me get this straight. You're going to have Kevin Falk on, James Moran, Josh Fontenot, the coach at Southside. I'm not invited? Well, yeah, Ruff. Whenever you want, brother. He said 5:15, so we'll see if we can make that happen and bring him on for the second time this week. One thing I do know, we touched on an interesting topic in hour number one. Then we got a little guest heavy. So I'll see if I can back up the truck for a moment. I found myself a little free time. I know how to use that. We asked what the Pels should do if the reports are true that they're not all that interested in Kevin Knox. And that's the Knicks small forward, excuse me. First-year player this last year out of Kentucky. Averaged a shade over 12 points a game. Not a terribly efficient shooter, but a guy that's got size and would help fill a void at a position where the Pels have been, well, frankly, weak for a long, long time. And so we asked, well, what should they do? Is there a way to still go down the road of trading with the Knicks even if you don't want Kevin Knox? It's hard for me to see it at first, but look, we've got at least one suggestion. We'll give this some airtime. Shout out to Chad D on Twitter. He said, trade for the Knicks wing and number three pick. Then trade the number three pick for Tatum. Not sure of other names, but that's an option. All right, that's fair. What I love about Chad D is then he hashtagged it with Ben Love. It's the first and last time that my name will ever be a hashtag. So we've got that going for us, which is really nice. Chad, I don't know. If they don't want Kevin Knox out of this, then they're going to have to find a way to get the number three pick and something else that makes sense. I don't see any way, shape, or form that Danny Ainge gets involved with this if the end result is not him getting Anthony Davis. So that's the only real prohibitor from your plan. Anybody that's going to trade with the Pelicans is going to expect Anthony Davis in return at this point. I mean, what else is going to do it for him? Seriously, you can't have Drew Holiday. What else do you want from the Pelicans roster right now? You got a deal for, I don't know, Julius Randle? You got a deal for Elfrid Payton? I don't even know what some of these guys' situations are. I'm not sure that all of them are even going to be property of the Pels beyond this offseason. Some of them probably have to be re-upped, right? You want Jahlil Okafor? I don't know. But Danny Ainge wants Anthony Davis. If you give him Anthony Davis, I feel quite certain he'll give you Jason Tatum, the number 14 overall pick, and then go from there. Probably some combination of Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Al Horford. I don't know, maybe two or three of those guys. But if you want the number three pick, you're going to have to go through the New York Knicks. And as I'll tell you in our next segment, Gail Benson, she's not too fond of going for the number four pick. That one belongs to the L.A. Lakers. And, well, just let me sit on that one for a moment, would you? In about 10 minutes, I'll explain why that is persona non grata when it comes to trade negotiations for David Griffin and the Pels front office. But that was interesting news. Reports coming out of NBA circles, I credited earlier, and I'll bring back now Kurt Heelan, our buddy from NBC Sports. He's been on the program within the last 10 days. Kurt's usually Johnny on the spot. And his sources, his reports indicating, well, Pels aren't too interested in Kevin Knox. So what else do you want from the Knicks? I know James was calling about that subject earlier. Too bad, too sad. Doesn't look like we'll get Ruffin Rodriguez. So we'll open it back up on the phone lines right now. I've got about 5 or 6 minutes left in the segment. Call, and we can talk a little Pels. 706-0111, the number to play. Clint, I do believe we have more from Alvin Gentry. Let's get back to that right now, because there continues to be a very interesting and developing thread. Anthony Davis is in California right now, working out with a bunch of guys that are currently on the Pels team. And, of course, that's fueling rampant internet speculation. That's how you know it's probably not going to happen, that maybe AD comes back. But here, Alvin Gentry says, look, make no bones about it. If AD returns, the fan base would welcome him back.
I think so. You know, obviously, his situation was had nothing to do with the city of New Orleans. I think he was talking about winning and winning consistently. So, obviously, he has that prerogative to request that. But the fans, you know, listen, when you're a great player and you win games, they love you, you know. And so I think we would be in a situation, as I said, where, you know, something good's going to happen there one way or the other. And like I said, our whole goal with Dave Griffin, and I think everybody can see that he's got this magic touch anyway. Guy's been in the lottery and won it three times. So he's in pretty good shape. So I think there's going to be something great happening in New Orleans.
The most important thing that was said there, did you catch it? The most important thing, Pels head coach Alvin Gentry just said, something good's going to happen either way. And I'm paraphrasing. That is 100% correct. CD, you know I don't believe in the 120%. If I did, I would throw it out right now. That's absolutely the truth. Either AD comes back or he doesn't. And then you end up with number one and three picks. Probably not one and four. Again, I'll get to that in a moment. Or you end up with the number 1 and 14 picks and Jason Tatum. Either way, something good is about to happen in New Orleans. That was solidified on Tuesday night. I think there would be a very vocal minority portion of the Pels fan base, right, that wouldn't welcome him back, at least at first. But then guess what would happen? They'd start winning, and those people would shut the hell up real quick. That's a promise. So I kind of agree with Alvin there. Again, we got some time if you want to weigh in. 706-0111. While we're waiting, I've got another update I can share. Southeast Missouri just went down in order in the top of the sixth inning. And that's Southeast Missouri against UL. First round, first game, actually, of the Oxford Regional. This is softball. And so going to the bottom of the sixth, Jerry Glasgow and the Cajuns tied with Southeastern Missouri at 2-2. They're looking to break through, trying to find a way to get to tomorrow and what you would imagine would be a winner's bracket game against number one Ole Miss. The Rebs are going to play later tonight, so we'll continue to update that as we can. As for LSU softball, they're set to begin play in Baton Rouge against Monmouth, a number one versus number four game. And that one's going to start, I believe, within the next hour. Clint, I have no doubt about it. You will tell me if I am wrong. What I would like to do, and why don't we do this, CD? We'll do our PGA Tour update right now, specifically the PGA Championship. We know that Brooks Koepka was rolling after 18 holes. They've gotten awfully close to where they're done with 36. So we'll get a leaderboard update from Bethpage Black. Clint, in hour number one, last we spoke on this subject, Koepka was 2 under for the day, 9 under for the championship. What can you share now?
He is currently at 4 under now, 11 under overall, still leading the way. He's at the 17 through 17 right now, so his day is about to be done. And then you got Wallace. He's actually going to be at 6 under, second place. And there's a little bit of a scrum for third place with Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, and trying to find this guy's name. Luke List is actually one of the other guys tied for third at 5 under.
So as I am mathing this on the fly,
yeah,
bro guy, that tells me that it's not been a good hour or so since our last update for Adam Scott. Last we spoke, yeah, it was 9 under and leading the way for Brooks Koepka, and I think only a stroke or two back was Adam Scott. It looks like he's fallen back to the pack quite literally at this juncture.
Well, it also is the fact you had Brooks Koepka improved by 2 strokes. He only dropped 1 stroke at 5 under, so he's definitely dropping back. But Matt Wallace wanna make a storm up down the line. He's through 15.
There we go. That's why when I math, I have to bring along the famous Clint D to make sure I correct said math. So Brooks Koepka, I want you to consider this as we head into a break. The course record was 6 under. Brooks Koepka, let's just say he birdies on 18, his final hole on Friday. He would be at 12 under. The man would average the course record for the first 2 days of the championship. That's remarkable. Even if he pars, he'll be at 11 under. Don't forget, he broke the course record. 7 under yesterday. He's at 4 under for his Friday. Remarkable. Number one player in the world. Well, somebody else took his cookies at Augusta. Tiger Woods, Koepka, reminding folks right now that he is that guy. Sorry we didn't hook up with our guy in this segment. Ruff and Rodrigue traveling from Houston to Baton Rouge, but don't cry any tears in your beer. He'll be back Monday at 5:15. That I'm willing to stamp home as a guarantee. When we return, it's time to throw some shade, and Gail Benson, you get to come on down. Oh, you're not on the receiving end. You are chucking that shade, doing it quite nicely. And then don't forget Josh Fontenot, head football coach at Southside High. He'll join us at 5:45, but we've got a big announcement coming along with that interview. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Stick with us. We'll be right back in to Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
The super important thing about making a bold claim, don't ever walk it back. I'm hoping that the claim that has been assessed and attributed to Gail Benson is true. I'm hoping that she's not walking it back just to save a little face. I'll tell you all about it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're back in to Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. All right, before the shade, all the good stuff and what Gail Benson did or didn't say, we have a Cajun softball update. And this is good news. The Cajuns took back the lead. Bottom of the sixth inning. RBI single from Lexi Como. And the latest score I can provide for you, it is UL 3, Southeastern Missouri 2. Again, that's the bottom of the sixth inning. First game of the Oxford Regional. LSU softball is underway. See, I told you in the last segment, they would start within the hour, and they did. LSU softball is tied up with Monmouth. Scoreless, actually, zeros in the bottom of the third inning at Tiger Park. Softball updates abound today. We'll do our best to get you more between now and 6:30 when we send you to Baton Rouge for the baseball side of things, LSU-Auburn game 2 of 3 from Alec Box Stadium. Before any of that, how about a dose of your daily reminder? No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home You can also trust their management. Top down, starting with Mark, they're going to sit down with you, help you to create a vision, and then they're going to fulfill it. And they can do it before this football season. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
What is reported to have come out of Gail Benson's mouth is utterly fantastic, since it's possible that she has walked it back. But sometime mid-morning, numerous NBA outlets came out with a quote. I think it was first Jackie McMullen of the Mothership, since Kurt Heelan and others are running with it. But reportedly, Pelicans owner Gail Benson said that she would trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers only, quote-unquote, over my dead body. God, I hope she said that. I really hope she said that, and I kind of hope she meant it. And it's not just because of everything that transpired with Magic Johnson and all that hullabaloo with, oh, man, you guys weren't dealing in good faith. Not dealing in good faith. Well, that's garbage. And I'm hoping that it's not just that, but it's because she doesn't want the poo-poo platter of players that Los Angeles purportedly is going to offer. Do you really want Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, maybe Brandon Ingram? I'm not all that wild about most of those guys. Now, that was mid-morning. About 2.5 hours ago, asked for a comment, Gail Benson says it's completely untrue that she'd refuse to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Now, there's only one part of that statement that I believe and that I kind of hope is true, and that's that she's not going to tell David Griffin how to do his job. I think she's going to give him complete and utter leeway, and she should. That man deserves it. His track record demands it. But I hope she actually does feel that way, and I hope that is how the inner workings of the Pels, I hope that's how they all feel and how they talk to one another. They're not doing a deal with the Lakers. Yeah, Magic's gone, but they still got that ass clown Pelinka. They still got Jeannie Buss. Let them rot with LeBron in La La Land. I hope it's true. So, again, what Gail Benson's reported to have said right now is a lot more fun than her walking it back. But if that shade really did come out of Gail's mouth, good on you, Gail. You are starting to become the queen of New Orleans.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Hey, a guy could dream, and my dream is that she said it, and she meant it. That's all. Just a little bit like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Yes, I gave the code red, and I would do it again. I hope she gave it. That's all I'm saying. At least until I say this. Before we hit a break, a reminder, we have been handing out ARDCO Equipment Student Athlete of the Month Awards. We did it for March. We've done it for April. In fact, if you go to the website, 1037thegame.com, we've got a really cool article that's up that details our winners from March. Early next week, we'll have a similar article that describes our April winners. We're still taking nominations for May, especially these young men, young women that embody both the student and athlete portion of that phrase. And the ones that are graduating this month, too. Let's send them off to college with a bit of a reward. Why don't we? It's the ARDCO Equipment Student Athlete of the Month Award, and you can nominate a young man, young woman in high school from our Acadiana area. Just go to 1037thegame.com or the free mobile app. You'll see plenty of banner and cue badge. You'll see a whole featured image and a page that's devoted to it. We need your submissions, and we need you to stick around. On the other side of this break, we're going to bring aboard Southside High Football head coach Josh Fontenot, and we've got a cool announcement we're going to make. Stick around for that. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're having fun at Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
quarter to 6 o'clock, right back in to Ruffino's on the River. Yeah, we're celebrating life. A lot of others are as well. Graduation season in full effect. Bumper to Bumper Sports with you on 103.7 The Game. And before we start our next conversation, and we got an announcement that accompanies that, I have a different type of announcement. This is good news. The Cajuns have officially beat Southeast Missouri 3-2 the final. So Jerry Glasgow and the Cajuns will advance to the winner's bracket tomorrow in the Oxford Regional. Some other news we can share. Cajuns are just hot right now. UL-ULM baseball. That game on Saturday has been moved up in Monroe to noon to avoid some rain. So I want to make sure that we got that to you. Right now, sitting to my right, my pleasure to welcome in Josh Fontenot, head football coach of Southside High. The Sharks will debut a varsity team in 2019. And I'm sure for you, it probably feels like it's been a whole lot of years in the making, Coach. In reality, it's been two, but I'm sure it's been a ton of work.
It has. It's thanks for having us. It feels like a long time. It really does. But we're excited. We had a little taste of varsity sports last year. We had about five games that we played varsity teams. But we're excited to have a full 10-game schedule, being one of the best districts in our state, and to get after it and play some real football.
Oh, there's no question. When you parachute right into 3-5A, yeah, there's no ducking anybody. Hey, let's make an announcement together, you and I.
Absolutely.
And we've been pretty excited about this. Something that's come to fruition. We're very excited about it. Beginning in 2019, Mustang 107.1, our sister station at Delta Media, is going to cover and air live Southside High Sharks football. Coach, that's got a fantastic signal in this area. Great.com, a mobile app. And so for all the Southside fans that are listening, the Sharks have a home.
We do. We're excited. Everything we're trying to do and start a program from scratch, when you guys approach us about maybe doing that, we jump right on it. We're excited to have a station that's ours. Our fans are going to be excited. We have a great fan base, unbelievable parent support already. Our students get into everything we try to do. I think they understand the opportunity we all have to start something from the beginning. That doesn't happen very often in our state. It hadn't happened around Lafayette from in the public school standpoint in a long, long time.
Probably Como.
So I think it was Como, and I can't remember the year. But so we all jumped on that wagon. One of the reasons I'm here, and I think the reason everybody in our fan base is here. So to have a radio station that's going to carry all our games, it's just another piece of the puzzle, which we're excited about.
So, again, we're pumped, too. Mustang 107.1 will be your home for Southside High Sharks football. More to come on announcers and some other details soon, including some blogs and maybe some podcasts we'll be doing associated with that as well. But let's get down to brass tacks, and I love talking numbers. Mm-hmm. I mentioned 2 years in JV, right, as you've been kind of incubating, if I could put it that way.
That's a good term. Yeah.
Getting ready for a varsity season. You share with me before our chat on air, you've got 15 seniors that'll be a part of the first graduating class at Southside in 2019. 82 players ended spring that would dress for your varsity club. So I guess give us maybe the pros and the cons. I mean, you go right into 5A. Look, you got a lot of bodies. That's great. But how seasoned are they? Maybe that's another question.
And I think that is the question. We tried to give them some varsity experience last year. We played, like I said, we played five games on Friday nights. We played five varsity teams. While they were small schools, it was still fairly competitive for us. It was just good to get us out under the lights, because I didn't want the first time we stepped out on a Friday night to be against a big school opponent and never having experienced that. And the experience thing is going to determine how fast we're successful. If we can get used to the intensity level of playing in a 5A football game against quality opponents quickly, then I think we'll be successful quickly. If it takes us a while to adjust to that speed and that tempo and that intensity level, then it may take us a while to have some real success. So there's no hiding from that. It's not positive or negative. It's just a fact that we're going to have to get used to that game tempo, game speed, and how to prepare week in and week out for a 10-game season. The management of our bodies and the mental aspect of that all comes into play. Everything will be new. Everything's the first time for us, no matter what. I mean, we're going to open up with a scrimmage against Westgate. That'll be some of the best players we've seen ever. We're going to jamboree on Cajun Field for the Kiwanis Jamboree. That'll be a big experience for our players. We're going to go against Notre Dame So that's another, you know, good, tough challenge before we start the season. So hopefully get some real speed, real tempo knocks under our belt before we have to start our regular season.
Josh Fondo, Southside High, joining us, and we're live from Rufino's on the river. You had an intra-squad scrimmage on Tuesday to conclude your spring session. What'd you take away from it? What would you share with the fans?
Well, the inter-squad for us is almost a we try to leave it happy no matter what, injury-free. So those things were accomplished. And we had 9 really good practices. So the inter-squad game for us was a chance to get some live tackle in action, but mainly to let's get out here, get our fans a little taste of what's happening, and have a good time with the kids. Let them enjoy it. Let them maybe celebrate in the end zone a little more than what's allowed in high school football, that kind of stuff. But overall, from the spring, we did it. We approached it a little differently, especially offensively. We took about, I don't know, 25 to 30 new things, threw it at them, and with the goal of coming out with finding 4 or 5 things that maybe accentuate what we already do. We've been coaching these, I guess, technically JV guys as varsity players for 2 years. So they've gotten a lot of reps at doing things that we think is our base offense. So we were able, I think we were able to find 4 or 5 different little concepts, whether it be in a run or pass game that helped us, that are going to help us to be better in the fall. And then on defense, we just needed to find people who wanted to get in there, be physical, and play. Found some young guys on the D-line. I think that's going to help us do that, add some depth there. Move some different guys in at linebacker. That'll help. Got more solid in the secondary. Found some depth, which was good for us in spring. Some freshmen who were able to play, who I think will be able to give us maybe not starting reps, but some that'll be sophomores that'll give us some good solid backup reps. And, you know, there's going to be injuries, so you need to be prepared for that. So spring, we came out of it with feeling pretty good. Yeah.
Fans of Southside and just high school football fans in the area, they're going to want to know 2 things. So I'll suffice their curiosity. Likely starting quarterback when you take on Northside, and then a bit of a feel for what type of offense the Sharks plan to run.
Our starting quarterback would probably be a guy named Dylan Monette. We have it. This is the most depth.
I caught a lot of Acadiana Carrickrow football games. Obviously not that Dylan.
Yeah, not that one. Not that one. I don't think he's leaving. He's in a pretty good spot. But Dylan, this is the most quarterback depth I've ever had. We got 3 guys on our staff right now that have experience in games and could probably all play. And could definitely all play. And probably all start if the other ones weren't there. The good thing about all of them is they all play other positions as well. So Dylan will probably take the starting reps at quarterback. Dylan came to us last year, and he's pretty special. I think Dylan has a bright future. You never know what's going to happen, but Dylan has potential to play some college football somewhere.
He'll be a
junior next year. And offensively, it's hard to define, I guess. It's spread-ish, I tell people. But we have a bunch of big tight ends, too. So we'll always have some form of tight end in the game. We're going to try. Everywhere I go, we try to run the ball. We have to find a way to run the ball. I'm a big believer in that, especially in high school. You better be able to run the ball some kind of way and so with some kind of consistency. So we'll find a way to do that. But the good thing is having Dylan back there and a whole team of really solid receivers, we're pretty confident in our ability to throw the football right now. So you'll see a variety of stuff, but spread-ish. Is that a variety of offense that's out there right now? I don't know.
It's good for me.
It's good. That's good. It counts. Okay.
When they used to allow NCAA to put out, or EA Sports to put out the NCAA football games,
it's
basically what I ran.
Spread-ish.
Spread-ish.
Yeah, that's it. But we'll try to accentuate our best players. I think no different than anybody else does. Multiple formation, tempo. Tempo depending on a situational game. I'm a big believer in it. I don't like the whole doing it all the time unless you have to. But I still think a lot's to be determined. You know, when we first started here, it was unfair to say, okay, this is what we're doing on offense because you coach your freshmen and sophomores. So those kids grow and develop. And so then the next year, when we had a little bit of juniors, they all looked a little differently. So now when we hit each other with pads, it made noise. At first, it didn't make any noise. And then now they got a little stronger and made noise. Well, this spring we came out, and this was the first time we had to shut a drill down. We're like, okay, this is getting a little violent. somebody's going to get hurt. So now, okay, well, maybe now we can run the ball and do a little bit more. So, and I think over the summer, we're going to grow and mature some more. So until you get into the fall, we have a good idea of where we want to go. But until we get to August, I think, to say this is what we do is we're not there yet. I don't think we're there yet.
And I've got some good news. We're going to take a quick break, an hour break. After we huddle up, we got more time with Josh Fontenot, head football coach at Southside High. I want to talk a little more about your background, how that's formed the program, you're starting up, and then what it's going to be like, some of those violent collisions with Barb and Sulphur and Acadiana and all the fun folks in 3-5A. Yeah. They're not too bad. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at Ravino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. Hour number three, off and running. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Ravino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, and joined for the next half hour by Josh Fontenot, head football coach at Southside High. The Sharks jumping into a very different pool next year, going from JV to varsity. We just announced on the other side of the hour break, we will be carrying Southside High games on Mustang 107.1. And, Coach, great to have you back in.
Thank you.
There's something we didn't mention earlier that we need to now. Home football games, at least for this next season, you'll tell me if it's for longer than that, will be played at Terlings Catholic. For my money, the best home facility in this Lafayette area.
We're very, 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 very lucky that Terlings agreed to let us play our games there. You know, that's a strain on their facility, another strain that they really didn't need to do, but they extended a hand to us very kindly. I mean, we're going to rent their facility, but we thank them. Hopefully we can thank them enough. In fact, it's just a coincidence here, Braxton Gilbo, our kicker's here, one of our backup quarterbacks. Braxton came up with the idea that the Thursday night game that we have, the one with schedule conflict, he said, Coach, we need to show up at Friday with all our short gear on to watch Terlings play and kind of be a thank you. So we're going to try to do that. I mean, we do, and it, you know, it's just at least a gesture of something to thank them, because we didn't have a home. We didn't know where we were going, and it was okay when you're doing JV, but it kind of got real quick. And Mr. Boyer and Coach DePonche, both Dane and Coach Sonny, really opened up and said, hey, let's come use it. It's yours for the night, and we'll do our best to take care of it. And how long that's going to be, I don't know. We'll work with this season and then go from there. Obviously, we want to build a stadium at Southside. That's something that we're going to work to do every day until it happens. So, right now, there's no time frame of when that will happen.
And if Tuesday of this week is any indication, you're going to need some space.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to have some people at your inner squad scrimmage. Tell our listeners how many people came out to a spring game.
Between 225 and 250 from what we calculated, what came in. And that was to put lawn chairs on the side and watch us play. So our parent support and our student support, community as well, is very good, and they're excited. I think they're excited. I'm not from South Lafayette. I'm a proud Ville Platian, and I didn't really coach in Lafayette. But when I got here and I started learning the history of it, the people on the south side of town have been wanting a high school supposedly for a long, long time, further down than what they had. And now that they have one, the support's been pretty awesome. So. But the Youngsville, Broussard community, the Milton community, those communities have supported us pretty good. And we went to Clark Field to play all our home games, and the last few games, there was not a place to stand. There wasn't a place to sit, and that was to watch basically a JV football team play a smaller school. So tremendous support from our band and Mr. Billy Hockeppel. Those guys are probably the best high school band I've ever been around. We try to do some things with them to keep it, to keep the camaraderie amongst the students and the teachers. So we're excited. We'll need a place to play. We do. Southside very much needs its own facility. Our boys, I think, really deserve that. But for now, we're very happy to call Turlings our home field, and we appreciate what Mr. Borden and them guys have done for us to allow us to play there.
A football program being built from scratch. Our pleasure to discuss it with one of the architects. It's head coach Josh Fontenot of the Southside Football Sharks. All right, one more on the numbers, I promise.
Sure.
I'm just a numbers guy. I'm fascinated by the idea of 15 seniors, right? 82 as it stands now that would dress for varsity. But this other number is important as well because you got to feed the kitty. You held a combine for eighth graders that are registered to your school in the district. Give our listeners a sense of what the numbers were like there and what the feedback has been.
Well, the good thing is the support of the fundraisers and the community is helping because we're going to need to buy some helmets. And we had about 55 that showed up, and then I get emails every day. Coach, we missed the combine. We just registered today. What do we need to do to play football? So there's a lot of interest there. And the eighth grade group that we saw, we're really excited about. I mean, I think now that we're coming closer to playing varsity sports, people that didn't want to come to Southside at first for whatever reason, there was always skepticism. A new school, you never know what's going to happen. But from our, especially with our principal and our assistant principals and our faculty, they put together quite an amazing school. You know, the building's beautiful, but the school is really, really awesome. And it's starting to show in the numbers. So 55 freshmen show for a two-day eighth grade combine. We were excited, and I think we'll get up to about 60 kids. And you know, it's not realistic to think all of those will actually could go through with it and play, but we have some kids interested, and our goal is to get freshmen is to keep them on the team, you know, because a kid that they don't look the same, you know, when they're 14 to 18. So one that doesn't like it now or maybe thinks he's too small, I don't want to run him off when he's a freshman.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong, because you've been in a number of places around this area. I hear the phrase all the time, we need a coach that's going to help us pull him out of the hallways. What you have is almost the opposite of that, right?
Yeah, the interest is not – I mean, there's a few guys in the hallway that I'd like to have run them out to run out there and come play with us. But, man, we have a good bit of interest. We have some depth. We have some guys that I don't know if I have any more room, to be honest with you. So we'll see. We'll jam in a locker, and they'll get to playing. But I hope that these kids all see the opportunity. The same one that I saw by coming here is this is something that you can really, when you look back on it, and what we all like to do, look back on our high school football playing days and put your thumb on it. And this is something I helped build. And I want to be one of the first ones to come in here. And so every year we've had a little thing, you know, this the first senior class. Okay, and then the sophomores, they were the first four-year class. But this group will be the first year to play 4 years of varsity football, so I have to come up with something for next year with a selling point, but hopefully our school sells itself, and hopefully we can have some success in athletics, and I think we will, to keep promoting and getting some good student-athletes in there.
I love connecting dots, and last week in the chair you're in, Louis Cook was here, and he remembers the time he spent with Kane Guidry, who's now at Rain. Of course, you two spent some time together, so I'd love to hear about not just your connection with Coach Guidry, but how your experiences in high school and in college and in coaching have helped to form what you're building now.
I mean, I played high school football. I'm from Ville Platte. I played quarterback there at Sacred Heart High School. Went on to Nicholls State. Played there. Was able to play in there a few different head coaches, about three or four different coordinators. Was a grad assistant for 2 years there. Was a grad assistant on the O-line, which was one of the best things that I've ever done. Then kind of went on a coaching tour. Central Lafourche, Woodlawn, Plaquemine. Worked with Coach Doug Dotson at Como. Worked with him at Plaquemine. Chased my now wife to Florida. Worked there for 2 years. Was the offensive coordinator at a big 6A high school. It was a big eye-opening experience for us. got the from there, we had our baby, came home, and worked at Crowley. Got Coach Tommy Tate hired us at Crowley to be the offensive coordinator there. And then was that for 3 years, and then the head coach for five. So that's kind of the quick run-through of it. And with all that variety is, I think, what makes what we do. Good, bad, and indifferent. You learn from everybody. We tried to take little pieces of it. I always knew, I think, I wanted to be a head coach. Didn't know. I was pretty determined to do it quickly. I still think I'm young. I don't know if I am anymore, but I feel like I'm a young head coach. But all those opportunities that were given to me by a lot of people, some of them were earned, maybe some of them were sped along quicker than what they should have been. But hopefully we try, and me and my wife, she does everything with me. Everything as far as, she's a great coach's wife. She's there at practice when she can. She does everything with the players. Can't complain, and so thankful for everything she does. But all of that put together, kind of when this came up, and it was really honestly something I said, man, I really want to try to do this. I want to see what we can do from scratch. And the selling point was our principal, Miss Cassidy. And the first time her and I met, we joke about it now, but I told her, I said, hey, if you don't like what I'm saying and I don't like what you're saying, we'll just go on our separate ways. We both have good jobs, and I was very happy at Crowley. It wasn't anything wrong with it. But at the end of that conversation, I think we both kind of felt good about maybe the partnership. And then, and for me, it was talking to her that said, okay, this is somebody I could work for. She wants to be successful in all aspects of the school, especially athletics. So whenever that was kind of the final decision of let's go after this, and then, you know, here we are. So, put the kid first, coach the player, not the sport. I really believe that. That's kind of the philosophy we have. We have a motto of Play Fast, which is our acronym for faith, attitude, strength, and together. We kind of live by that, and that's kind of what's built on all the years of coaching. And we really believe it. The boys bought into it, and it'll be something that we hang our hats on. But that's me. That's our philosophy at Southside. It took us a while to get here, but man, I'm excited. I really am. I'm really excited. It's amazing to see it grow. You always look back and say, man, we should have taken a picture every day, like of every kid, to eventually put it in a scrapbook or something. And hopefully I've taken enough along the way to, and when we end it, whenever that may be, or whenever it's over for me, that hopefully is a long time from now, I can look back and say we did something good here. And I hope all these players feel the same, and parents.
A better radio host would end this interview right here, because that was perfect. I am not that man.
I love talking about our program.
You piqued my curiosity on something else, so I'm going off the path, but I just think our listeners would enjoy it too. Why was 6A football in Florida so eye-opening? You got to describe what that's like for me.
Yeah, there's a couple things. One, there's always a battle, I think, within coaches of who has the best high school football. Everybody knows about Texas and in the Georgias and that kind of stuff. I'm very proud to be in Louisiana, and I showed my pride there to Florida people a lot. And I was happy to be there whenever LSU won the national championship and was beating Florida and all that stuff. So I let them know. But and I was proud of our football. But Florida, it's not any different. The kids are kids, whether in Florida or Louisiana. I think the biggest thing was the level of talent, because you'll see as good of players in Louisiana as anywhere. But on a night at Florida, 6A school, we had 3,000 students in the school. So when we played against another team, I mean, there was an SEC kid on that team every week. And then there was six or seven others that were, you know, mid-major type kids. So it wasn't that the talent is any better. It just was more, because it was bigger. It was just bigger. The fan support, honestly, and the atmosphere, better here, way better. There's more pride and hometowny kind of feel of all the teams. It wasn't bad in Florida, but it just was different here. The other thing that is the way they approached it, which was different. I grew up in the PowerPoint era of what we do in our playoff system. When I was in high school, it wasn't quite, I don't think, PowerPoints. But in Florida, it was the old way of first and second go, and that was it. So we go to
district was everything.
Yeah, everything. And you knew who you were playing from the before the season. If you were second in district, you were playing the first team out of this district, so on. And the state was divided north and south. And then they met in Orlando to play the state championship game. So my first year there, we go and we actually lose the last game. We lose week 9 of the season. And it puts us in a 3-way tie for second. And I get to, they say, okay, well, we got to get ready for the shootout. And I'm like, well, I have no clue. What in the world is a shootout? So they said, well, we're going to show up at the team who had, like, the best overall record or point differential. We're going over there Monday. This is that we still have to play a game week 10, which was a non-district game. They ended district week 9 for this reason with these shootouts. So we show up, and I said, okay, how does this work? I said, well, since it's for second place, we were like the odd man out with the other team. So the host team sat in the end zone, and us and the other team, we played a live quarter. Kick the ball off, you play a live quarter. And if you win that quarter, the other team comes on the field, you get a little 10-minute break, and then you play that team. And then the winner of that goes to the playoffs.
That's all. The team that receives has to be at an incredible advantage
yeah.
there.
So that's a Monday night.
Coin tosses everything.
Yeah.
Shootout.
Yeah. So Monday night, after we play Friday, you kind of put together something real quick. You let the kids rest. Monday, you come back. You go to that stadium. We played a live quarter. We win that live quarter. We go pull out the old game plan from the team because we'd already played these teams. Then you play another live quarter. We win that one. We go to the playoffs.
That's wild.
And end up going to the third round that year. The next year, we had to do it again. But it was a 3-way tie for first place. We were the host team. The other two teams played. And then that one, the one that lost, waited. Because if we'd have lost, they'd have to play us. And then, oh, anyway, so you get the point.
Wow.
So that was different. That was those two things were the most eye-opening thing in the state of Florida. But I enjoyed my time there. Great, great football. A lot of talent. Really is a lot of talent. The biggest claim, but we played against a team called Sanford Seminole. We played them every year. Actually lost to them my last game coaching there in the playoffs. But they called them the Seminole 3. And all three of them signed on the Under Armour game. And one of them was Andre DeBose, who returned kicks against LSU for touchdowns. So saw kids like that a lot. And that it made it fun. It was. But home is home. I'm a Louisiana guy. I love our football here. I love the fan base of it. And after seeing other schools and another state, which was always a goal to go do that, and this is as good as it gets. I think the atmosphere that our state brings to football is pretty special. Better than Florida, I'll give it that.
There we go. Hey, this has been a lot of fun.
Thanks, man.
Coach, I appreciate you coming
aboard. Absolutely. Forward. Thank you for everything. We're looking forward to it, man. It's going to be fun.
Oh, we're just getting started.
That's right.
We're going to have you back on this program.
Absolutely.
I promise you that. And Mustang 107.1 will carry Southside High Sharks football beginning the week after Labor Day. Fired up about that. Coach, have a great summer. We'll
appreciate
talk again soon.
Talk to you. Thanks.
All right, we're going to hit a quick break. Then we'll come back, put a bow on the show. Then we send you to Baton Rouge. LSU baseball at 7 o'clock. Pregame show at 6:30. Tigers taking on. Well, the Tigers of Auburn. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming back in on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield.
But it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, back in it one more time. This is B2BS, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Yeah, we've had some fun. Live at Ruffino's on the river. We're going to be seasoned vets at this thing, so it's actually going to be more than a little sad for yours truly when next Friday I am at Minute Maid Park. I know, don't cry any tears in your beer for me, I'll have a good time. We've already got interviews lined up, one in particular with Reed Ryan, president of baseball operation for the Astros, yes, Nolan's son, and yes, author of one of the best interviews that this show has had in almost 4 years of existence. We did it last year at Minute Maid. We're going to run it back this year. Again, don't forget, Bumper to Bumper Sports next Friday, live from Minute Maid Park, 4 until 6:30, leading you right in to game one of Red Sox at Astros. But tonight, it's the other way around. it's the way that I was trying to describe it. Gerrit Cole and the Astros are at Fenway Park to take on the Red Sox. CD, I don't think we have any weather interruptions there. You're going to have to help me with that. I know that game was slated to start, I believe, at 6:10 p.m. Central Time. Are they off and running at Fenway?
Yeah, they're off and running currently. Bottom of the first, nothing.
There we go. So Gerrit Cole is on the mound as we speak, pitching to the Boston Red Sox, and that usually means that you get Benintendi and Betts and J.D. Martinez and all the fun stuff that Murderer's Row of a lineup brings for the defending world champs. So we're awfully excited about our trip to Minute Maid next Friday, and that'll be brought to you by Ardco Equipment. More on that special show next week. But as we put a bow on this hour, on this show, on this week, what a week it's been. Your biggest news? I don't know if Anthony Davis is sticking around in New Orleans, but Zion Williamson is coming, courtesy of the Pels, overcoming 6% odds to win the number one pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, a lottery. As Sammy Sosa once said, very, very good to David Griffin and the New Orleans Pelicans. Of course, we had some other memorable moments as well. LSU baseball won a midweek game, won against Auburn on Thursday, and they're looking to keep that mojo going tonight. UL baseball lost last night at ULM, but still clinched a spot in the Sun Belt Conference tournament because Arkansas State lost in extra innings. And on the softball side, Jerry Glasgow, the Cajuns, they advanced barely out of round one with a victory. They beat Southeastern Missouri earlier this afternoon 3-2 in the Oxford Regional. If Ole Miss wins as we speak, they're playing a 1-4 game. It'll be Ole Miss and the Cajuns in a very important game tomorrow in Oxford. LSU softball playing right now at Tiger Park, and you're going to have to follow that one on your own because Clint's telling me, Ben, you're just about out of time, so wrap it up. I can do that. Our thanks to the guest that showed up in person here. That includes Kevin Falk. Second time he's enjoyed B2BS live at Rufino's on the River. Thanks to Coach Falk. He's got a great event tomorrow night, a ping pong tournament benefiting charity at Fast Eddie's. Check him out if you get a chance. And our thanks to Josh Fontenot of Southside High, who sat in for the better part of a half hour with us here. We also had James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine. That is it. That is all. My thanks to the famous Clint D. Today was a show with a lot of moving pieces, but I think they all align for just what we wanted. My name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Enjoy your weekend, and enjoy the LSU baseball next on 103.7 The Game.